I mean, you never know. Maybe you'll feel fine. You just be out in the mix. You don't have to track your score. You know, just have a little hit and giggle, drink some
I
water.
do have to track my score,
I know.
Logan.
You're a
It's one of
maniac.
my personal flaws.
What we do here is go back, 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 back.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Wheel Route Podcast. This is mildly legitimate conversation amongst friends and lovers about college football and lifestyle. You can find us on the internet, www.thewheelroute.com. Wheelroutepodcast@gmail.com is the email address. And you can get the show Apple Podcasts, Spotify, things of that nature. We're on the internet. Jason allegedly has some sort of podcast app that he uses that he was jocking on us during the brief Spotify outage of 2024. Last weekend. You can use that as well, evidently.
Pocket Cast is for the people.
My name is Logan Whitehouse. I'm on Twitter at Logan on the Dawn, coming to you guys live from Stuart, Florida, where it has not rained in a few days. So
must
that's
be
a good
nice.
Thing. T's and P's to all of those affected by the Hurricane Helene that made its way through the Deep South and Florida and sort of into the Mid-South. I don't know what Tennessee, North Carolina is called, but super, super troubling stuff there. So shouts out to those people. Help out if you can. Who else is here?
My name is Jordan Schenk. I am in Harrisonburg, Virginia, where it did not rain today. It has rained on previous days, but I don't know that we have a streak cooking yet like the boys in Stuart, Florida do. I'm on the social medias at Schenk Jordan. Before we went on the air this evening, I was watching some Thursday night NFL football.
Oof.
Red Panda is in Atlanta for the Bucks Falcons game. Al Michaels saw some Red Panda tape and remarked that she must have been outstanding at the balance beam at some point. And I'm not sure those are transferable skills. Like, I think the unicycle bowl
toss.
Routine.
The tall unicycle bowl toss.
Yeah. I mean, I can see why he made that leap, but I don't know that that's like a solid bet.
Certainly didn't add a ton of color with that comment either. You know, no. Like I didn't, that's reductive in terms of skill
set. What's the most generic balancing thing I can say?
I bet she walked at an early age, Joe. Yeah. Kirk.
Tremendous at hopscotch on the school grounds.
All right. Well, it's good to see Red Panda in the mix out, you know, amongst the people in the dirty ATL.
Yeah. Kudos to her for, I guess Isaac, it's turf, but still, it's not the hardwood she's accustomed to.
Well, she
to.
Was up on like the concourse in the, the bowl kind of, they didn't have her on the
She
track.
Did on the field though for
I
some say,
I saw
game.
Her. I saw a clip of her.
Yeah, like was she like Rutgers or something? Like yeah. I don't know.
Good for her. Yeah. Make that red.
I'm glad she's still doing it. You know.
Yeah. She like when she really had her fastball early 2010s. would come to like one UVA basketball game a year.
It'd be lit. Oh. Yeah.
It's a moment.
Them quick change always got me, and the frisbee dog.
I love the frisbee dogs.
Yeah, frisbee dogs.
I remember when somebody stole Red Panda's unicycle, and like the world. Like it was the one thing that unified the world in like 2015.
They found it at the same place they found Ralph Sampson's jersey.
I don't ever respond to that. My name is Jason Crick. I am
welcome, Jason. Welcome back to the podcast, Jason.
Yeah, I'm really excited to be back with you guys. I had a travel absence. I was thrilled to see you guys shoulder the load together, just like old times. But happy to be back. I tweet things at Jason Crick. Mostly at this point, pure white hot rage at the Baltimore baseball franchise. But you know, we're past it now.
That's not even calling them by their nickname anymore.
They'll earn it back at some point, I'm sure.
Okay.
But
do they have to start losing a lot to earn their nickname back? Or
I don't know.
Like what's the threshold?
I don't know. I'm laughing.
I mean, it's still kind of in the immediacy.
The wounds are fresh. I'm emotional. Yeah. I think some measure of like hey, things aren't on the like autopilot course forward that we thought they were with, like, you know, five straight all-time draft classes. Maybe we need to do something. And there's been no signs of life from the building in the last 6 months. And
welcome to sports.
Now they have the offseason, so we'll see what happens.
They'll have some young hotshot sweet flow bro ready to go next year. Things will really get off to a hot start.
You got a bunch of lax bro looking fellas coming through. So
LBLF.
Also want to point out that I had noticed right before I hopped on that I'm wearing my strapped Baltimore shirt.
Yeah.
Was a gift from Logan, and I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Sometimes, every now and then, I'm not a very good gift giver, but every now and then the stars align, and I'm like, I need to give a gift.
That's right. I'm the exact same way. I'm terrible at giving gifts, but then like
the elixir is ready.
All of my friends get like one every 3 or 4 years. I'm just gonna nail it and ride that for a half a decade.
Exactly. It's a true the thought that counts situation.
Yeah.
Anyhow, all right. You guys drinking anything delicious this evening?
I have more Spindrift. This is lemon. It is my least favorite of the three.
It is the least.
You got to drink them.
Yes. I try to jump on the lemon ones early so I can kind of pace myself, because if you jump on the lemon ones too late, then it's troublesome. It's tough.
Yeah. It's usually my like late afternoon at work sparkles.
When the pain is
I'm not having a good time.
When the pain is at its max, at its peak, when I'm feeling the worst. Lemon,
yeah. Relative to the frustration I'm already feeling, the lemon isn't that bad.
I'm angry about so many other things in this world.
The lemon doesn't really take away from my afternoon when I'm at work.
That's just good. That's just good economics. That's cost effective. I am fresh off doing something else, so I hustled through a nice, classy glass of Bud Light.
I like that, gentlemen. I've got a squatty banquet beer.
Oh,
ready to rock. And I want you guys to know that the fortune under the cap tonight, it says, be proud of doing it your own way. So here's to you guys. Right. Cheers.
Keep
cheers
that mine for Pickville there, Logan.
Oh, I will.
I will be doing it my way.
We will all be going 2 and 3 in some sort of bizarre, like singularity event that will happen. And yeah,
like we did the ACC circle of suck every year. We're going to find our own contraption to make sure that we all spread out our two wins.
Definitely. Very good. Thank you guys. We are recording a day late. I was attending to some business across the state. Love to attend to business these days. I unfortunately do not have any lemon Spindrifts to not improve my afternoons while I was over there, but they actually have a very nice, they have like the soda water machine at that office, and you can like add all the flavors and make your own. You can make your own Spindrift, basically.
Wow.
Yeah,
could be dangerous.
Lap of luxury. Some people have it all. The Tampa office. Shout out to the Tampa office. Their fancy drinks and their granola bars. Yes. I think they're better than me. All right. Well, Jason, did you have anything you wanted to get off your chest about last week of college football? I don't know how much you took in. We had an eventful Virginia Tech Miami situation. We had an Ole Miss gacked it up situation.
Yeah.
We had one of the best college football games some of us have ever seen situation. Yeah. You got anything you want to say before we jump into this week?
I think that sums it up well. My bullets are, I think that the pass for Virginia Tech was incomplete and the refs painted themselves into a corner by calling a touchdown.
Yeah.
And there needs to be some sort of mechanism for them to say, we have no idea, we want to watch the replay.
Right.
Without having to try to overturn something.
I think the NFL's doing a little bit better job of that with
like little quick review
things.
Quick
ones.
Exactly.
We determined.
That needs to be carried over. Everybody's got it now. You can do it. So Kentucky dragging Ole Miss into the crawl space and smothering them and leaving them for dead was absolutely hilarious. One of the funniest things in the world.
Do you think being a Kentucky fan is an enjoyable experience?
Oh, I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't. That's a leap of
faith. There's no way, like week in and week out, that they're like, "Yes, we are doing it."
I will say,
this is our path that we're doing.
As three gentlemen who have praised Schadenfreude in the past, that fourth quarter would have been delightful as a Kentucky fan. Of just like, you can't do anything. So
That's true.
But no,
they did get very lucky, but they pulled it off.
That made it more funny.
If you're only planning to ever win a game by like 4 points max, you're going to need to get lucky sometimes.
Yeah.
So.
And then, yeah, Georgia, Alabama was just incredible throughout. Really high played game. Love that it materialized because the first quarter was lopsided.
Yes.
But yeah, I think I am hard pressed to think of a more incredible play at a bigger spot than Ryan Williams. That was.
Yeah.
Pretty preposterous.
It's a good throw, too. It's a really good throw.
It was. To the back shoulder, gave him a chance to go get it, and he did the rest very emphatically.
Jason, I posed this question to Jordan on the podcast. Coming out of that game, who do you think is a better team, Alabama or Georgia?
Oh, gosh.
Like, who you feel more confident in moving forward?
Weirdly, I think Georgia, like, 55.
I don't think that's that weird. That's kind of how I feel. I mean,
yeah, like 60-40. I think that, like, you know, they both kind of had a disastrous half, and the Georgia half seemed more out of character, like, oh, God, everything is going wrong in the NCAA 25 video game kind of half, whereas Alabama just kind of, you know, it was still a bad half for them. They're not going to play like that very often, but it seemed more from the, like, no, we don't have an answer for that standpoint than it was self-inflicted wounds. So, I think they're two of the three or four best in the country, and I would love to watch them play again, but I would like 55% lean towards Georgia.
Yeah, I thought Alabama's game plan was so good. And once Georgia kind of like made the adjustments, it was, I think, pretty clear that Georgia like probably has like the better setup to win football games. But the game plan, you can't not deny the game plan, right?
No, I mean, they didn't put a foot out of line for 30 minutes.
Kirby coming off the field at halftime, just like loudly bemoaning the fact that like they went empty so much, which was new, was hilarious. Like that was like objectively hilarious. But
like that, the assistant coach in Remember the Titans, where he's like shotgun. They think they're the New York Jets or whatever.
I think they are the New York Jets. Yeah. So, okay. That's kind of how I think Jordan and I sort of landed on that too. Like Alabama needed that game to end and frankly pulled a play a little bit out of their butt at the end to kind of like get it home.
Rescue it.
But rescue it. But shout out to them for staying in it. Milroe looks like very capable of doing like all the quarterback things, which I don't know that we would have necessarily said. Like
Spencer Hall said, and you guys don't play the video game, but like that was video game Jalen Milroe, because in the video game he can just do whatever he wants. He's like Bo Jackson, and that was
he kind of throws the ball like a dart.
Yeah, he
looks like he like holds the ball like in the middle of the ball. Like he doesn't look like he holds like the back of it. It looks like it's like So, there's a lot of overhang on either side, so. It would appear.
Yeah.
Who am I? I'm not a quarterback.
Outstanding college football game. One of the best of the generation.
Very good. I don't think we still have yet to have any coaches get the axe so far this year. So I think that the hot seats remain hot.
Logan, I think Mac Brown probably though take Antonio Pierce off your Florida big board.
Okay.
He received an 8-year show cause today for violations committed while at Arizona State during the pandemic.
During the Herm Edwards, the end of the Herm Edwards experiment.
Yeah. So college might not be the move for Coach Pierce.
The better
at least
part
until
of the
2032.
Yeah.
And didn't it say like that his first year back, he's going to automatically be suspended too or something? That was like a weird like tag on.
Yeah, if he gets hired within that 8-year timeline to a college position.
Okay.
He will be suspended for a year.
And for a year. But he won't be suspended for the balance of the 8 years?
Well, there's a difference between a show cause and a suspension.
What is a show cause, if not a suspension?
Looking
you just can't coach?
I'm trying to find the exact
I thought the show cause like process. Severely limited your recruiting ability.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it just like kind of traps you.
It's
on
like administrative leave.
It's like house arrest.
Dude, if some school just like hired some coach that was like mid show cause, that would be hilarious. Just why did we do that?
Yeah, we can, or they could hire him a year early. Let him serve the suspension, and just soak up culture. be around the guys, but not really around the guys type stuff.
Not around the young guys, not around the high schoolers. He's allowed to
not around the prospects.
Taint the guys that are already on campus. Yeah, that was kind of a weird one. There was another bit of news. So Florida State sort of slow played the DJU not being the starting quarterback situation. He allegedly has a broken finger now, and he is.
They hit him with the depth chart or.
Yeah, they hit him with the depth chart or, and then I guess news came out that he had broken his finger, so he was not going to play. So they're going to throw. What's his name? Brock Glenn to the Clemson defense this weekend. So that's nice. That was a nice thing for them to do. I guess it would have been weird if DJU like absolutely stunk it up against Clemson. All time toxic atmosphere potential there. So
DJ's got a broken finger, but he's still our guy. We're gonna let him go out and see.
I don't know.
What happens?
Florida State fans are not happy right now. Not happy.
I don't think they're enjoying 2024.
Yeah. They got drilled by SMU. Did you see that, Jason?
Oh, yeah. It's like 42-14.
Extreme drillage. All right. Well, hey, let's get into some games, hey? What do we say, boys? All right. Can I interest you in a little Michigan State at Oregon to wet your whistle on Friday night?
Yes, you may.
Literally always. All right.
I'd like to watch Michigan State again, and I always like to watch Oregon, but Michigan State's got a real volatility character at quarterback, and I don't know, they could score some points, make it kind of spicy for
that
a time.
That excites me.
Yeah, I like a quarterback that's willing to sort of just drift into traffic and guillotine himself and fling the ball across his body and make
the kind of quarterback that keeps both teams in the game.
Yes, yeah, like just like Jihad Muhammad, that's my right. favorite Big East point guard from back in the day. All right, SMU is at Louisville. This could be a fun one. This could be a fun one if you can find it on your dial. Is this a Saturday? It's like a nooner.
It's on ESPN, so you probably can.
Yeah, but it's at noon, right?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. Well, you'll be able to find it. SMU at Louisville, a couple of good offenses. I think Louisville's defense is all right. Louisville really let those of us who were on Louisville +6.5 down last week. I think they're good. But I think SMU's good, too. Is SMU still doing the two-quarterback thing?
Don't know. I don't think I've watched a minute of SMU.
You didn't watch that SMU-Nevada game at the beginning of the year? That was, like, one of the weirdest.
No, I feel like I watched it through your texts.
Oh, man.
So I didn't need to go watch back.
I experienced it for myself.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you have a unit here or there on the on the Stangs, you gotta check in on things, you know. You got business.
Pony up, brother. Let's get it.
That's right. Okay, Jordan. Boston College is at UVA. Thomas Castellanos is back in the mix, allegedly.
Yeah, he will be starting.
What was his injury?
I don't know 100%.
Miscellaneous lower body.
Sustained it against Michigan State. Did not. I don't think he put pads on for the Western Kentucky game last week.
I don't believe he was suited.
Wow.
Yeah. This is going to be interesting. The line opened UVA -3.5. It is down to UVA -1 or -0.5 or a pick, depending on what you're looking at. I think this should be a pretty straightforward Boston College win based on what I've seen from the two schools. And, like, Boston College's one commitment to running the ball, but also willingness to run the ball. That's what really got Virginia against Maryland when Maryland stopped helping Virginia by throwing all over the place. So we'll see. UVA is coming off a bye, which could be helpful. I think they get a piece or two back on the offensive line. It is homecomings. Not notably a big football event in Charlottesville, but also a nooner. So
I do love the homecoming.
I can split screen Virginia, Boston College, and SMU, Louisville.
Ooh,
on my monitors.
That's a veteran.
I really
move.
Support the ACC.
Extreme ACC. Well, you could also continue to support the ACC by tuning into this next game here. This is Pitt at North Carolina.
Oh, I thought you were going to go wake NC State.
Not doing
so many options.
That one I saw. I decided I am not going to mention NC State on the podcast this week. So they're dead to me. And frankly, so is Wake, which is fine.
That is.
I think Wake really stinks.
Four ACC games at noon.
Gross.
Yeah, so I may have some NC State money line exposure across some larger ETFs.
That's dark. that's a dark timeline. NC State money line exposure in 2024. Dave Doran not on the big board either, just in case you're wondering.
Okay.
Good note.
I'm pretty sure that. Pretty sure that
on your seat temperature board at all?
I don't think so. Probably not.
I think he's got a year to burn.
Yeah, I think they've had a weird quarterback situation this year, and like,
yeah, Grayson's
it didn't pan out, and then they've been like gone straight to like true freshman, who is supposed to be, I think, a good recruit, but probably not ready. Not ready to slang it.
Not ready to fully open the Bible of Dr. Bob quite yet.
Oh yeah, that is true. That's also why I'm not talking about them anymore, is because they're still doing Dr. Bob stuff. So the Bible of Dr. Bob. Pitt is at North Carolina. Pitt's been playing well. I think they're 4-0. Good offense, weirdly. It's weird when Pitt has like a plus offense, they are like damn near.
They haven't had a plus offense since the Matt Canada days.
Mm. Sometimes I think about that time where Mike Gundy, like with a straight face, like lauded the Matt Canada offense before
a game. Lauded the Matt Canada offense. As well.
Yeah. He was like, they do all these shifts and motions and things of that nature. And I like, if we didn't do what we did, I would be really interested in doing what they do. Like, that was like what's one of the most backhanded, terrible. Like, if we didn't do what we did, like, oh, okay, I would like to run the Matt Canada offense. yeah, I mean, this. Listen, I think Mr. Mac Brown might be number two on the hot seat list, if not climbing towards number one. If they they could beat down at home by Pitt, which they probably will, based on how things have looked recently. It's not going to go well. We might have an announcement.
Do you think there's any scenario that results in him getting fired before the end of the season?
No, I think an announcement would come.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Okay, I think I agree. I just also their schedule's not strong.
Like, they're gonna catch fire down the stretch.
Frankly, their whatever record they finish with this year is gonna be significantly dismal. I mean, they have Pitt, and they have home Georgia Tech, at Virginia, at Florida State, home Wake, at Boston College, home NC State.
Good Lord, that's awful. Yeah. They should. No, you think they should be able to stumble into winning a couple of those? No, but yeah, SMU. I don't.
That's an accidental bowl season, if anything.
The quarterback play has just been so bad. Yep. Like, yeah, they could lose all of those games as well.
Yeah. Those are all going to be like minus four lines in one direction or another.
bunch of noon ACC games.
Yeah, root around on the course.
They're not going to have to turn the lights on at UNC Stadium the entire season.
It's terrible.
Friendly.
Iowa is at Ohio State, the Ohio State University. I'm not particularly jazzed for this one either, but you know, Iowa's defense occasionally at least asks some questions of a team. You know, we've done the Ohio State playing. Well, we did the Ole Miss playing a team with a pulse thing last week, and they lost to Kentucky. I don't think Ohio State is in the business of losing to Iowa, but I want to kind of watch Ohio State at some point so I can see Jeremiah Smith like live and in person. But I just haven't had the occasion yet because
they haven't.
Their schedule kind of blows, and they've been winning every game like 74-6.
But
their fans get all antsy when it's like, you know, 14-7 against Marshall halfway through the second quarter. They won that game like 49-14.
Yeah. They go to Autzen next week, so that'll be fun.
Love it. Let's go. Couple of big pulses. Big
also, pulses. This could be a look ahead trap.
Mm. Ooh. A little sprinkle action on the what kind of plusage are we getting there on Iowa?
I think it's three touchdowns.
16.5.
It's opened at 21.5. It has shrunk to 18.5.
Wow.
So yeah, so I would have taken Iowa with three touchdowns on the hook. Jesus.
You gotta be truly sick to be like totally rooting for Iowa to cover the spread. Just like, run the ball, get a first down and punt. Like, we need
win
first
the field
down
position battle. Yeah.
I want three possessions a half, no more, no less.
Well, football is about all three phases of the game.
Yeah, people forget that. So
that's true. All right, let's talk about the oldest rivalry in the South, or whatever they call it. This is Auburn at Georgia. This might be like the oldest continuously played rivalry or something. And they have like, there's like variances of this because I think UVA North Carolina claims.
I was going to say, I thought UVA North Carolina was the oldest
rivalry in the crowd, yeah, in the South. But wait, where's the South? What's the continuously played? You know, who's to say? It's Auburn. It's Georgia. Don't really think it should be much of a game, but this game does get weird because these teams are like legitimate like rivals. This is like the, I think this is like the LSU Florida situation.
Okay.
Georgia. Sure. I don't know. I look forward to the Hugh Freeze post-game comments on his quarterback play, that his quarterback said he is groomed and prepared for this match.
That quarterback is going to have so many grass stains on his shirt all over. He's going to be bleeding, and Hugh Freeze is still going to be like, hey, he's got to move better. And like that'll be...
Peyton Thorne shouldn't have put him in that position to have to try to make
decisions. That's on me for trusting him. And
listen, all I'm saying is charming when Steve Spurrier does it in 1994. It's less charming in 2024 when...
Well, we're too sensitive in 2024.
Logan. Well, this is true. This is true. You never see kids in casts anymore, you know?
That's right.
I'm trying to see some kids in... More kids in casts, less kids in therapy. Am I right? Who's with me?
These views do not necessarily reflect the views of the Wheel Route Podcast.
The only one
or
on the
our
podcast.
Sponsors.
The only one on the podcast with children. Lol.
This kid's got
yeah, I don't need to watch a ton of this. This game is usually a spectacle. You know, I get down for it. I did catch the beginning of the Auburn game last week. I'd like to go to a game at Auburn. Would the eagle fly around the stadium? It looks pretty cool. It looks sweet. It looks like a fun environment. Jordan Hare. All right, Ole Miss at South Carolina. This one I'm intrigued by.
Mm-hmm.
Ole Miss vibes potentially down, kind of got pushed around, and then have to play a spunky South Carolina team that has, I think Sellers is maybe going to play. He's one of those quarterbacks that can keep both teams in the game. Really good defensive line. And Ole Miss's offensive line got manhandled last week by Kentucky. Yeah. And they weren't able to do their shot play, big running play, chunk, first down, tempo stuff that they like to do, which is, you know, alarming. And got to play another team this week that at South Carolina, too. I don't know. I think this one could be interesting.
Sandstorm.
Deedle-deedle-deedle.
South Carolina's next four games, home Ole Miss, at Alabama, at Oklahoma, home Texas A&M.
Wow.
And then at Vandy, home Missouri, Wofford, and then at Clemson. So,
If they beat Clemson, and Clemson's like had a full like resuscitation, and then they...
Clemson's bookend the season with back-to-back hateful losses.
just ridiculously bad losses. The SEC, historic SEC East team, Paul. I mean, it just means more, you know? Coach Shane has the boys playing.
Just in time to be receiving votes. Also receiving votes next season.
Coach Shane, no, not on the list also, in case you're wondering. I'm all set on Coach Shane, so thank you. Thank you for coming. Jason, tell us about JMU at Louisiana Monroe this weekend.
That is a football game. That is happening.
Good
news. UL Monroe, traditionally, just every year the bottom of the Sun Belt, pretty bad program. But I believe they have a new coach either this year or last year I think it was last year because I think he got passed over for the UAB job for Trent Dilfer, famously.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm remembering correctly. But he's got the boys looking spunky. They thumped UAB at home, which must have been just delightful. And then won at Troy last week, but I think Troy might be bad this year. So, anyways, a feisty ULM team and a JMU team that is rolling, but, you know, not an easy trip all the way down to the bayou. So, but the Dukes they're getting some national attention again all of a sudden, which I hand up did not expect this year. I said if we won 8 games, it was one of the better coaching jobs I'd seen in a long time. And so far we're 4-0. So
hot Bob, halfway to 8, halfway to Jason's seal of approval of a good coaching job.
He's closing in on my stamp, which is what all coaches dream of.
Jason, how do we feel that Hot Bob is a flight risk?
Yeah, always. I would be surprised
if it was a 1-year flight risk.
I would be surprised if he was somewhere else next year.
Right.
What is there a specific school or a specific like area or conference that do you think is more appealing to him than others?
I know. Boston he's a Northeast guy. I think he literally interviewed at Boston College. He's like from the Northeast, but you know, somebody up in the Northeast would have to very much change their entire football philosophy to come up with like FU money that would definitely make him leave. So, you know, maybe if he's wanting to get closer to home, he takes a job like that. But I don't know. I think it would take a pretty incredible offer to get him gone this year and still a pretty good one next year. And that's if he keeps things rolling, but
right.
He's ahead of schedule. I'm just
curious. I mean, JMU's getting a little bit of the like, there was the MAC team back in the day, Northern Illinois, like their coach always became like, you know, a good coach somewhere.
And since we've been doing this show, Arkansas like State, Memphis has done it.
That's right. And everybody's worried about it. And I'm like, you know, if we are considered cradle of coaches, that's a pretty good reputation to have. We'll get a lot of up and comers for cheaper than somebody else might, because they know they can win here for 3 years and get a, you know, bottom level Power Five job. And
we'll have a really good sample size too of like how we spin coaches on the way in and on the way out for the Dukes too, which will be interesting. Yeah. Interesting data set.
So anyways, I hope it's a problem we have to face.
He does look good in the black long sleeve.
He's a handsome fellow. I think we can't argue with that. He's a
you see him? Man. Do you see him at the what do they have there at the Wellness Center in Harrisonburg? Is he like a pec deck? Is he like a pec deck guy?
I think I've actually literally only set foot in the Wellness Center one time in 35 years.
I feel like I went on I had a run that someone was, I think Ross was getting me in there for a while.
Yeah, I think he was big there for a bit.
Shut up to Ross.
He takes care of himself and his shirts are the correct size to provide evidence.
He's like a white Marcus Freeman.
I don't actually have a response to that, but sure.
No, I mean, I think Marcus Freeman is, I mean, I like the cut of that guy's
jersey. Marcus Freeman fills out a quarter.
He's shredded up.
Absolutely.
Well put together.
That's quarter zip goals right there for sure.
All right. Let's take it to Gainesville. The Central Florida Citronauts are making their way.
He says with a twinkle in his eye.
The Central Florida Citronauts are making their way to Gainesville for 7:45. Donnybrook with the Gators.
They're favored.
By three, yep. I saw yesterday at least, at Florida. I think it's a little interesting considering how they gave it up to Colorado last week, and the fact that their quarterback is who he is. But
it's KJ Jefferson.
It's KJ, the behemoth KJ Jefferson, who has played a lot of quarterback. I will give it to KJ Jefferson. He has played a lot of games at quarterback. All right. I don't know.
That what son else of a gun has the reps. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it could be a long day for the Gators if UCF does the Gus committed to the run game stuff. Florida's defensive line hasn't been very impressive. Defense in general hasn't been very impressive. So we'll see how it goes. I didn't really get a whole lot of warm and fuzzy feelings about UCF's defense last week. That's for sure. So if, you know, Florida doesn't take like four or five drives to, you know, score a point, we could have a ball game here, but I don't know. I feel like I'm still a little surprised that Florida is not favored at home, but I think people are just really down rating Florida based on, I guess, their defensive line play.
Yeah. I think if you're the Gators, like, if you can start quickly and get some points up on the board early, you should feel really good about your chances. Colorado was able to force them into throwing the ball much earlier and much more often than Gus or KJ wanted. It didn't go well for UCF,
right?
Or for me personally, but that's okay.
They let me down too. I was leveraged.
Yeah,
they didn't let me down as bad as Utah did. Utah really is Whittingham's dead to me, so
extra dead.
He's off the list also.
So okay. Do you have a gut feeling about this game, or is it just kind of like?
I guess wouldn't be surprised at anything, because like, it's kind of weird. Like Florida looked so bad at points of that Texas A&M game, and then at like a very weird point with like 10 minutes to go in the game. They were down like 10 points and it scored two drives in a row and got Texas A&M off the field a couple times. And you kind of looked up and were like, well, dang, if they could get one stop here, you know, it would be like a legitimate, you know, you're in the game situation. And I know that's like definite, like highly like being positive about what was a very poor showing by the Gators. But I don't know. I think they're still doing the two quarterback thing. They're coming off a bye. Maybe some guys get a little healthy. Maybe Lagway got a little bit of work and they're gonna let him play. But Florida has to start faster than they have started. That's Jordan. That's a spot on like thing. They don't start very fast. And my, you know, sort of pithy statement is, you know, Billy Napier preaches about playing complementary football and proceeds to play like the least complementary football ever. The fact that his team is so bad at defense, right? So it's like complementary football only means you can have a good defense and a good offense. It, you know,
it's hypothetically right. Complementary.
Right, right. It's not actually complementary. So I don't know. We'll see. But if, I mean, if UCF just pounds Florida at home at night in the swamp, I mean, we're going to be doing the fire watch thing on Sunday morning, just like we were 4 weeks ago.
When's the, okay. So the next bye week is after Kentucky
before Georgia. Do they play Kentucky next week or they play Tennessee next week?
Tennessee next week, then Kentucky.
Cool.
Well,
yeah. So then they play Georgia. So, I don't know. Ryan Nanny's question still rings loud in my mind that he asked on the No Laying Up podcast. Should Gators force Billy Napier to coach the Georgia game? Force him to go and deal with that one last time, just to be petty. And then last one, this is your game day game of the weekend, is Miami at Cal. Marshawn Lynch is the guest picker. What a time to be alive, Cal, on game day. I don't know. Weird one. Cal plays good defense. Miami is, I think, showed some warts against Virginia Tech last week. They look like they maybe have a loss in them. Like, I don't know who's going to give it to them because their schedule isn't overly impressive, but like they look like they could cough one up.
Yeah.
But last week could have been their week to cough one up, and they wrote it out too. Yeah. So.
They go to Louisville in 2 weeks. That wouldn't shock me. You know.
That is going to be a good one.
But. Yeah, I think that I'll be interested to see if other people can expose their wards. I think, you know, of all the crappy things that Virginia Tech does, their pass rush is actually pretty solid, and I think they took advantage of that a little bit. And so I don't know if anybody else on their schedule has an above-average pass rush. But
Virginia Tech ran the ball down Miami's throat, though. They ran that little, like, that quick toss, like, not even sweep, that just like off tackle toss play out of a shotgun. Yeah, basically like a zone kind of like stretch toss, and it ate Miami up all night long. I mean, they must have run it like 8 or 9 times.
He's Virginia Tech's, their running back's their best player, I think. So,
yeah, I think drones, like, it's funny to watch drones and Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, and they're like, y'all three of these guys have the same quarterback coach. I'm like, oh, it makes sense. And they all do the same.
The puzzle pieces just fit together immediately.
All prone to the exact same negative plays, and also prone to the exact same like spectacular like pull it out of their butt plays. And they all play like very kind of like casual, hold on to the ball for a long time. So it's just kind of like, that's interesting. What's this guy that's like waving a broom in Miami Beach doing, you know, teaching these guys? But seems to be working out, I guess. I'm going to have probably 2 first round draft picks in the fold. So,
yep.
All right. You got any others, Jordan, or is it Pickville time?
USC at Minnesota is an interesting one.
Good color matchup.
Yeah. Might be confusing depending on if an alternate is unveiled. Let's see. Tennessee's at Arkansas. Logan, you have mentioned that you don't hate watching Arkansas games.
No, I don't. I hate watching Kentucky games. They're too competent. They're too competent. But Arkansas, Jason, this is my theory on Arkansas. They don't look like they practice, but they have like dudes on that team, and they move fast and they play hard. They just don't appear to be organized. Kentucky has dudes and they're too organized, and I think that makes the game like too not fun.
What was the other one? Oh, Virginia Tech's at Stanford.
That's a weird one.
That has potential to get strange, not in a good way, but like it's not going to end up on the ACC socials main account probably.
The secondary ACC network account.
Yeah, ACC NX or whatever it is.
Eddie Royal's burner.
Yeah. Hey. All right, I think that's it. We can go to Pickville now.
All right. Let us pick.
So the picking begins once again with a Friday nighter. Also a 9 p.m. kick. We've got Syracuse at UNLV.
What a game.
I'm going to preface the rest of the board by saying, as you may have noticed, not a ton of marquee matchups in week six, mm-hmm. I believe we are currently approaching.
That's correct.
So, yeah, QC UNLV, an interesting matchup geographically. This is not a conference game. Those of you who have been dizzied by realignment, this is an out-of-conference matchup.
And the time of year, right.
But, yeah, UNLV looked pretty dang good last week in their first game without the starting quarterback who recused himself of the rest of the season for contractual/agreements purposes. So yeah, the Rebs are favored at home by 6.5. Jason Craig.
Yeah, I am going to take those Rebs. I think UNLV is a very legitimate team. I think they're very good. They seemed to play, like you said last week, like they had a little something to prove in the post-Sluka opener. They also very much have something to play for. The general consensus is it's them or Boise State for the that have the inside track to the Group of Five bid to the playoff.
Yeah.
So this isn't just like another maybe we have a chance game. Like they probably need to win to stay in front of Boise State. I don't know who's going to beat Boise State or slow down Ashton GNT. Anyways, this is also Syracuse's first road game. I don't love that. And they haven't looked particularly
going to the bright lights of Vegas too.
Right. You don't just walk into Las Vegas from what I hear. But I don't love them going on the road for the first time against a very legitimate top 25 team. So I'm going to count on the Rebs to beat them by a touchdown or so.
Yeah, I'm also going to go UNLV here. Like you said, Jason, first road game of the year. Not necessarily the ideal test you probably want, right? A team who's got a lot still at stake, still ahead of them. There's also kind of the interesting, like, well, this is, you know, QB2, now QB1, his second start. So how much do we really know about him? And how much can we really game plan for him? UNLV is also going to have some elevation element going on, not necessarily to a Utah standard necessarily, but first trip on the road, if you're gaining elevation, that could also be tough. So I will take the Rebs.
Yeah, I'm also on the Rebs here. I think the quarterback that they're playing now is better than Mr. Skluka was, which is just kind of a weird situation. I think they can do a little bit more on offense. It seems like the team sort of rallied around the situation as well, too. Some wide receivers popping off in post-game press conferences about how the gentleman who offered the $100K should give it to our offensive line because they deserve it. You know, that was a good, that was a nice soundbite. We like that.
It's definitely a banger. I get it.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think first road game. Jason's good note. Give me UNLV at home, doing it.
Thing I learned from all of this is that UNLV's official NIL collective is called UNILV, which is they're thinking.
Oh hell yeah!
They're thinking a couple steps ahead. I respect that.
That's even better. I should have been on them earlier this year. UNILV. Gosh.
I don't throw the word genius around easily, but I mean that's
right. Credit where credit's due.
Yeah.
Fair.
Our second game, we take it to Saturday. We also take it to the noon slot. The noon slot could be chaotic, depending on how
I'm going to be going. I'm going to be double four boxing.
Might be. Yeah.
Logan pulling his hair out at 1:15 on a Saturday afternoon.
We've got an SEC matchup here. I believe this is the only ranked on ranked game on the board all day, all weekend.
Yes.
Missouri is at Texas A&M. The Aggies are home favorites by a point and a half. And I'm going to take Mizzou here. I know what I watched in the game where they struggled at home against Vanderbilt. My kind of line of thought here is that was their scare. They can now kind of tidy up some things. They know they can't mess around or else they will find out. And like, yeah, this kind of feels like, okay, Missouri, if you're for real, let's see. Because if you go lose to this A&M team, who I think long-term Elko is going to do a good job at A&M, but I don't think they are established yet with an identity or kind of a clear plan of attack. So I'll take Missouri. They feel like the more sturdy, confident sort of in who they are, what they need to do to win games team between the two.
Yeah, that might be true. Texas A&M, though, does appear to have been doing some – they've been doing some work, right?
With the quarterback replacement, they have looked different.
And a mobile quarterback gave Mizzou hell, and it was just Vanderbilt.
Hey, so, that is – how dare you?
Yeah. I'm going to take Texas A&M. Home game. Elko scheming it up on defense. Mizzou's just been kind of sleepy this year. I mean, I suppose that, you know, from a Jimmyson Joe standpoint, the Mizzou receivers and quarterback could kind of come alive. But I don't know. I like what Texas A&M does on defense. I like their quarterback. He's had a few weeks now to get things going. And if anything, he can run and take off and mix it up. So I'll take Texas A&M. I did not think I was going to take Texas A&M when I first saw this line. But I kind of like have thought about it. I love the power punch on Coach Elko as well. It's such a delight.
He's shaped like a ball coach.
He looks, yes. He fills up that triple XL shacket. Looks like he could still probably get a couple snaps in a guard. You know, he's a pulling guard. You know, he loves a pulling guard.
He wears that jacket and it looks like the offensive lineman in Remember the Titans when his jersey's just like kind of dangling off.
Remember the Titans game.
Yeah, that's just. Yeah. Did you watch that on the? Did you watch?
No,
that
This is just right off the rip. I'm locked in right now.
It is probably the movie that we have seen the most in our respective lives.
It was right in our wheelhouse in our age.
Yeah. It's probably the one that has the most overlap across the three of us.
The Harrisonburg North midget team. I believe Marty Dean took us to a showing of that.
That checks out.
Before
another guy who's built like a
coach. yes, extreme coach.
Anyways, that's my input. That's all I can think of is the jersey clearing the belly and dropping straight down over the gut.
And I just remember it like poured down rain in Gainesville when they were playing, and he looked terrible. Like he looked so miserable, and his shirt
not a flattering all,
like,
appearance
to him. And it just like it was a bad scene. Who you got in this game, Jason?
That's a great question. I am. I'm going to take Missouri. I remember seeing this line and thinking it was very strange. Makes me think I missed something, but. I remember
that's
we said
we get them, Jason.
We said 2 weeks ago that Missouri, after that Vandy game, had a bye week and was not going to enjoy the couple weeks of practice. And I'm going to guess they didn't. And I think they come into the hate barn all motivated and lathered up. So
when they get one look at those white guys in those pajamas overalls,
if they let Texas A&M score and the fans intimidate them by making out with everybody, I don't know what they're going to do.
Fighting Texas Aggie. Hey!
Hey, yo leaders.
All right.
All right, moving on from that. 4 p.m. Rutgers is at Nebraska. We've got, this may have changed, but I'm just keeping it where it is when I filled the sheet. I've got Nebraska -7. Logan, please lead us off.
Okay, I'll take Nebraska home game. That's the only thing I got.
All right.
Okay.
That works for me.
I am also going to take Nebraska.
Home game. Just home game. Say it.
Logan stole my entire argument. Rutgers resume just doesn't knock me over sideways. Nebraska has at least looked good against, you know, Colorado, and they slipped up against Illinois, but kind of put it on Purdue last week.
Purdue might be as bad as Wake.
That's a fair point. Can't argue with you. But I'll take the Huskers and Mr. Raiola.
I really wish this was at Rutgers,
because
I think they have a spirited team. But I can't shake the end of that Virginia Tech game where they were just hanging on for dear life,
desperately trying to end the game.
Yeah, praying an act of nature / God would cause an early whistle. So I'll take Nebraska here, home vibes. If it was 7.5, I might think otherwise, but feels like prime for a push.
I'll take the push if it counts as 6 wins and 1 loss.
First of a year, yeah. I'm sure there's an app somewhere
where
you can get fun odds on a
push,
a regular time tie or a 2 go to overtime
exact score. Yeah.
7 p.m. Clemson is at FSU. I've got Clemson -14.5. Jason, knowing that DJU now has a broken finger.
Yeah, it's real tempting to take Florida State with the 0.5 there, but I can't in good faith do that.
No.
DJU's hurt.
I'm not tempted at all.
You know what, Jason? If you're so tempted, I will let you buy the 0.5 and take Florida State +14.
No, I'm good.
You just have to shotgun a beer. You have to shotgun one of your glass bottles. You have to tornado a Kona Big Wave out of the glass bottle.
I'm good. I will take Clemson -14.5. DJU's hurt. I genuinely think this team is kind of broken. And Clemson.
DJU's hurt should be a positive for a team, other than the fact that they're playing one of the best defenses in the country and tossing in a quarterback that hasn't played yet and has terrible vibes.
I think it's going poorly, but Clemson has something to prove, and Klubnik running is kind of a whole new thing, and I don't think Florida State needs a whole new thing. That doesn't seem like a good idea for them to have to handle. So
if they got their teeth kicked in by SMU last week, then you gotta think Clemson probably asks some slightly harder, more difficult questions. It
feels
SMU.
Like there's some, I agree.
All right, I'm also going to take Clemson here. The advanced stats columns for FSU are very red, almost garnet, some might say.
Nice, love that.
But this kind of feels like Dabo probably smells blood in the water, wants to kick Nordvell and FSU while they're down, but doesn't want to outwardly show that,
Right.
We're gonna get a classic Dabo halftime and or post game interview from whoever's doing this game.
Dabo is going to frame this as Florida State's still a power. And he's little old Clemson came in here and they thought we were done.
I told the guys all week that, we don't care about their record. We know who they got in that locker room.
We know the name on the front of the jersey. And
the Instagram post of the guy who sent this text message of his dad said, my dad responded to this text Dabo. And it said, do you have power? He said, no power in the house, but I always have a higher power.
No electricity, but I always have a higher power. Perfect. 10 out of 10.
I'm also taking Clemson. I'm riding with the higher power this weekend.
That's right.
Too many floozies in FSU. We need a nice God-fearing football program at Clemson.
Right. I agree, Logan. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah.
Final game of the night, We got Michigan at Washington. The Huskies are favored by 3 at home. This is interesting to me.
Yeah.
I'll watch this game.
I'm going to take Washington here against my better judgment. I can't wait for them to only score 6 points and me to just rue this exact conversation I'm having with myself. But I just don't think Michigan does enough on offense. Like, we've had enough time to watch the Alex Orji experiment to where I don't think Washington's necessarily afraid of his arm. So if you commit to selling out and, like, let's just engage 8, sell out, stop the run, I could see Washington winning here. Home game makes me feel good.
I just think some of what I've seen from Washington lends me to believe that they might get pushed around a little bit. I think I'm kind of with you on Michigan. I don't think they do enough to cover, like, games in which they're favored. But I think they do enough against a Washington team that's a little bit depleted. And I think that the run game and the defense travels. So I'll take Michigan here with trepidation. But I think that they, like, if they actually would commit to just being, like, the biggest, dumbest football team, they would be better than, like, what they do when they try to, like, pepper in some flavor.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to take Michigan. This seems like a game where, if, like you said, if they commit to it, they commit to just thumping them. I don't know that Washington has a response to that. Washington hasn't looked awesome. Seattle weather is going to be a lot like Ann Arbor weather. I'm gonna take the Wolverines.
Very good, very good. Well, that was Pickville. You guys have anything else? Should be a fun weekend.
Yeah, I'm excited.
All right. Well, you know what it is? It's the Wheel Route Podcast. Thank you for joining us, making it this long. We're on Instagram. We got wheelroutepodcast@gmail.com. We have thewheelroute.com. It's the website. You can go there. You can listen to the show there. You can get the show from your favorite podcast acquisition service. Until we meet again, we love you guys. Go Gators.
Go Hoos.
Go Dukes.